This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It means Dave Archer gets to stop by and join us in person as well here in
Seattle. That's like when you go bowling and you roll like a 250, and then you have a bunch of gutter balls in the middle game, and then the next game you light it up again. So I'm like the gutter ball guy.
I was going to say it's like three strikes and we made a turkey.
Oh, okay.
We got Lindstrom, we got you.
That's very kind. I'm just interested in listening to what Randy's going to dress up as for Halloween.
I actually did get me a new T-shirt, and it's pretty cool. So that's what I'm going at.
What is it?
I can't tell you that.
T-shirt?
I can't tell you that. I got me a nice Halloween T-shirt because my kids are always asking me to do something, so I'm going to wear the T-shirt. I ordered it today. It's pretty damn cool.
Look, Daddy's in the mood. He's got a pumpkin T-shirt.
And it's pretty cool because it's – I'll tell you this, Arch. It's pretty cool because everything about that shirt is me.
So you're going as yourself?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be good. I'm going as Andy because we're going to do a Toy Story thing. Lily's going to be Woody, which – fine. That's what she wants to do. Jack's going to be Buzz Lightyear, which is perfect because he's built just like him.
Yes.
And Ashley, I think we were just talking about probably Jesse, the cowgirl. Yeah. I'm going to be Andy.
Got to be authentic then.
The
you got to write on the bottom of your kid's shoes in big letters, Andy.
I actually do. I had Andy tattooed on the bottom of their feet so everybody knows they're mine.
That was good.
All right. Let's just take a four-game snapshot, and then we'll start looking ahead to tomorrow night as well. But just kind of overall assessment, maybe some things that are as maybe better than you thought they might be, maybe a thing or two that's not quite as good as you'd like it to be through four games.
Well, I think that obviously all of us are kind of concentrating on what's going on that conversion down situation. You know, certainly you're not very good on offense on third down. You've been good enough to win a couple games. You've been bad enough to lose a couple of games. It's weird, too, Randy, when I look at this team, I said you could make a case for them being 4-0.
You could make a case for them
not winning a game.
Exactly.
You know? So it's really kind of a precarious spot when you start trying to gauge where they're at. On the defensive side, they have not been very good on third down. They have not stopped the run game significantly or enough to keep themselves in those situations where you can turn up the heat and come after the quarterback and do those kind of things. They've had to kind of play things across the board. They're playing a lot of high safety stuff to keep things in front of them, and they haven't given up a lot of explosive plays, which is cool. I think that's the thing you look at. They've really been pretty good in the red zone defensively. Conversely, on the other side, you've seen moments. There's been a play here or there offensively. There's been moments where they've gone right down the field. You look at the last two drives against Philly, they went right down the field. Now, they didn't get in the end zone.
Right.
And that's another thing. You know, so it's an incomplete for me. If you're going to put a grade on it, I'd say defensively B-, offensively C. That's kind of where I would put them.
Dave, do you still think they're starting to figure out the identity or the rhythm of this offense? Because, like you say, I mean, the obvious thing is third down. You know, they need 20 more plays. I mean, the other team is getting 20 more plays than they are. But do you think they found the identity that they're looking for with this offense yet?
No, I don't think so. And I think part of it has to do with – I think they're still trying to get to know one another. And obviously the quarterback who's distributing the football – I mean, these are all new guys, and I think that you're seeing some of that. He and Mooney are starting to develop something. I love the way Drake has kind of almost, you know, I know there's a bad light being shined on Kyle Pitts and how he's being used right now, like I said, but Drake's almost become that guy. At 6'5", I mean, how many grabs did he make on that in that's probably a route you ran a ton as a guy. 12-yard inside breaking route, big-bodied guy that can go get the football, strong hands. He's kind of taken on that role a little bit, and Ray and Mooney have been kind of the explosive guys or the guys to get, you know, take shots at and stuff like that. So hopefully we can get Kyle going. But I think that when you go back to the identity thought, You know, they want to be physical, obviously, in the run game, and Tyler brings that, and Bijan does to a certain extent, too, when they runs behind that offensive line. But I still think they're kind of feeling each other out. I think, you know, Kirk's still kind of getting up to speed with how Zach wants to call the game, too. I think there's a lot going on there.
Is there, just from your eyes as a former quarterback, is there a reason why it might be going faster with Mooney and Ray and guys like that for Kirk than it is with Pitts and others in the offense? Like, is there something about what they do? Is it something about the play calling? Because it seems like those relationships are really going quickly, whereas with Pitts and others, maybe not as much.
Well, and I don't want to shine and I don't know this. I'm not in the meeting rooms. I'm not having the conversations in the locker room with the guys and stuff like that. I'll clarify that right now. But from a quarterback perspective, and Randy will tell you this, there's a trust developed with your receivers as to when you're going to turn the ball loose to them, when you're going to put them up to bat. You also begin to learn the little idiosyncrasies that they have within their routes. Randy had a certain way at the top of his route that hinted to me when I'm going to throw the ball as to when to get it out to him, to his quarterbacks, okay, if I was his quarterback. And guys are different. Guys have different wiggles. I had Billy White Shoes Johnson, and Billy was really hard, easy to read at the top of a route. I knew there was a little head nod, a little shake. Boom, I could get it out. There were some other guys that, I'm not sure. Okay, now he's out, so now I can throw it. And you almost have to wait till he gets open or wait till he comes out of his break. Those are some of the things that cause an incompletion, maybe the ball on the back shoulder when it's supposed to be out in front. And those are the things they're kind of working through. So that's where I would lean towards, is some of these guys are a little bit more demonstrative in their movements, and you can kind of read them. And other guys, you know, the route looks different each time. Okay, wow, that was a good hard, crisp slant route. Yeah, he kind of rounded into that one that time. And I don't necessarily trust letting it go, you know. So those are kind of things from a quarterback receiver's perspective you get.
How's the defense been going? You said they're playing a lot too high. Obviously, you don't want to give it the big play. You got those two smart safeties back there. What is going on the first and second down that they're not able to get on third down? Because, I mean, the other team is scoring – I mean, sorry, the other team is running 20-plus more plays than the Falcons.
Yeah.
And we want to say – I keep saying they need to run more plays, but obviously they're not – getting the ball enough to run the more plays. So what is the defense not doing?
Well, they're not playing tight, you know, and that they're playing off. So you're getting kind of cover four, which means you got four quadrants of the field. And I'll let you talk about this, Randy, after I get out of here. I don't need to describe coverages, but they're playing quarter, half. They're doing stuff like that back there, and it's softer. They've played veteran quarterbacks the last couple of weeks, and those guys have taken those shots. Patrick Mahomes, who wants to take shots down the field, took a couple shots early, got picked by Simmons down in the red zone. What did he do? Boom, he came down, he started picking you apart underneath. He started throwing all those underneath routes. What did you see last week from Derek Carr? All they were doing was striking down the field with Rashid Shaheed in the first couple of games. What did he do? Came right down, he started taking what they were giving. They're playing what a coach called me calling playing the keyboard. Take what they give you. Stay in manageable first down situations. So now all of a sudden it's third and three. It's third and two instead of third and eight, third and nine. There's the crux now. If you're Jimmy Lake and you're Raheem Morris, do we come up and play more aggressive and come up and press and take some of that stuff away, lending itself to shots down the field? Or do you like what you're getting? You're not getting the time of possession, but you're bending, and then you're kind of shutting them down when you get in the red zone. So now you start trying to mix that. Okay, I'm going to come with pressure this time. There was a couple of times against New Orleans where they tried to guess and come with pressure. New Orleans guessed right, and they got it blocked up, and they made some plays like that deep over route to Rashid that he caught on later on in the game. So that's the kind of the cat and mouse game they're playing.
Dave Archer joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy talking some Falcons. We'll get to the game tomorrow night in just a minute. I know you've been asked about this. You've hinted at it a couple times already with us here. We haven't asked you about it yet. And look, I think it's understood that they want to get Kyle Pitts the ball, right? They want to get him involved in the offense. What is your take? What is your thought on why it's looking how it's looking with him?
Well, I think that, again, it goes back to a trust thing, and I don't know that, and I haven't talked to Kirk, and Kirk hasn't said, "Hey, I don't trust him, so I don't throw him the football." So I'm not going to profess to say that. I'm looking at it from my eyes, and I've got to be able to know what he's going to do. And some of it falls on him too to be really, you know, aggressive with how he's going to play, whether it's chip blocking or whether it's, you know, running his routes. He's got to be crisp. He's got to be someone you can read really well. Again, I'm not in those meetings. I'm not talking to him or anything like that. It's me kind of guessing. Nobody said anything to me like that, that, oh, he doesn't trust Kyle Pitts. I don't want that to come out and say, sure, hey, the Falcons right, don't sure, trust right. him. That's not why they're throwing him the ball. I think that there's a combination of things. There's never just one thing. Okay, he's not in a good mood, or he's not running routes, or Kyle doesn't like it, or Kirk doesn't like it. There's a myriad of reasons why it's going on, but they certainly need to get it fixed. He's too big a player, too big a target not to get him going.
What about this week, Dave? Short week, but it is a division opponent. We had Chris Lindstrom early talking about Vita Vea. He's going to eat a couple steaks, get him some pasta and everything in there, put some bricks in his pocket and have to deal with that big dude. But what is it about this? I know they got bum-rushed by Denver, you know, coming off of a big win against Detroit, but, I mean, they beat the hell out of the Eagles last week. Now, the Eagles were down a lot of guys, but they still went out there and beat them down. What is it about this team this year?
Yeah, Baker's a key to them. They don't really run the ball that well. I mean, Rashad White had, I think, his career high at like 900 yards rushing last year. But he's kind of a bit player in this thing. He's even more of a receiver potentially than he is. So Baker's the key to the whole deal. Can you pressure Baker? Because Baker wants to throw the ball down the field. Godwin's been a monster against Atlanta. We know how good Mike Evans is. But really, Godwin's been the guy that's hurt Atlanta more than Evans has. When it comes down to it, he all his career highs are against Atlanta. He had 14 receptions one year. He had 135 yards against Atlanta. He's had 400 yard games. So to me, Baker's the key. Can you get after him and can pressure him? That's what Denver did. Philly didn't do that. I just don't think that the run game. Now they're going to try to test Atlanta between the tackles because we haven't stopped the run. Can Baker be disciplined enough to do what Patrick Mahomes and Derek Carr did this last week? Can he take the underneath throws? It's weird because if you go back and you look at Brady's game against Atlanta in Tampa, I think it was his last game he played against Atlanta. It was the horrendous call where they on Grady's sack, right? We're gonna get the ball back, potentially win the game. Brady pulled back and started throwing the ball underneath. He was throwing the ball to Otten. He was throwing the ball to White. He was distributing the ball underneath. That's what Atlanta was giving him. Now, obviously, it's a different defensive coordinator, but it's a similar style. Is he going to be patient enough to do that? So Atlanta has to tackle extremely well if you're going to play that way. You got to leverage the ball, get them on the ground, and then you got to win the money down. And they haven't been doing enough of that. So I think Baker's the key. If you can pressure him, he wants to try to take shots. I think he'll throw you the ball.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you one thing about him, too. He's not young. He's been in the league for a long time, but he seems like a totally different guy now than he used to be. Bounced around the league, and now he's found a home in Tampa. What is it about him? Like, what has he changed? What is different about his game?
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Game that's allowed him to be a viable starter now.
Well, I just think he's matured, Andy. I mean, all of us, if you get a chance to play long enough, you learn a lot of lessons and stuff. I mean, your maturity off the field, your maturity around your teammates, how you prepare. I think he does a much better job now than he was walking the streets and doing the commercials where he was living in the Cleveland Stadium with his wife and all that kind of stuff, the commercial. I think he's settled down and said, hey, I want to be a professional quarterback, and I want to be a respected one. So how do you do that? You prepare. You do the right things to get yourself ready. He had a monster year last year. It's his first 4,000-yard season of his career. 28 touchdowns, only 10 picks, took his team to the playoffs. They got a playoff win. He's settled in. I think that he's a much better player, obviously, than he was when he came out of college.
I was just looking because some of the injuries from Tampa Bay just came out.
Yeah.
That's not playing. And Antoine Winfield, he's not going to play this game.
Yeah, this secondary that they've got, Winfield, Jordan Whitehead, who comes back from the Jets. He was there for, he was in Tampa for 4 years, I think, went to the Jets for a couple seasons. He had a career high last year in tackles and interceptions. Winfield's coming off a career high in tackles last year himself. He had 6 sacks as a safety. Huh. So those two safeties are pretty good. I don't know that I put them on the same level as the two guys that are here, but when those two guys are on the field together, they're pretty good. Now, I don't want to jinx us or anything like that. You know, you knock on wood here when I say this, but their 4 starters across the board had never intercepted a pass against the Atlanta Falcons.
Let's keep it that way.
Damn it, Arch. He did knock on the wood.
He did
knock on the table.
Woods mad.
Yeah, he did knock on the table.
Arch, we appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Arch.
Good to be with you guys.